Pressure coming, and Mahomes rolls to his left, throws on the run. Wide open in the end zone. Jonathan Giles, touchdown, Red Raiders. Oh, Mahomes, as he's rolling to his left, looked like he just flicked the ball. It doesn't even look like he took a full swing of the arm. Just flicks it and throws that thing like 45 yards in the air.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes can do some fancy things on the football field. No question about that, coming from Texas, crazy air raid offense. That was Brian Jensen, Texas Tech football, with the highlight. And we're bringing in, I know there's a lot of Bears fans focused on the quarterbacks. We've spent plenty of time talking about it here. And I don't know that it's going to be in play at number three overall, but the Bears have certainly done their homework on the top four guys and beyond that as well. One of the quarterbacks that's being discussed is Patrick Mahomes. And his agent right now, you probably know the name, Lee Steinberg, joins us right now on 720 WGN. Thanks for joining us, Lee.
Oh, my pleasure. Now that I know what the weather is and what the traffic is in Chicago, I'm ready to roll.
All right. That's what we got to get you prepped. So tell us a little bit about your client, Patrick Mahomes, kind of what we need to know about him. Because right now, just I've watched a lot of tape on him. And he's certainly an exciting quarterback. I think a lot of teams want to rein him in and get him working on technique and things like that, but there's no questioning the arm strength and some of the incredible plays he's made over his college career.
He really is a very special talent, and I believe he has the highest upside of any of the quarterbacks. He was brought up with a father who pitched in Major League Baseball for 11 years, and his godfather, who he's very close to, was LaTroy Hawkins, who pitched for 20 years. So he's brought up in an athletic tradition. He has so much passion for football that he turned down a big potential bonus from baseball, where he throws 96 to play football. Unbelievable arm, unbelievable touch, the ability to get outside the pocket and throw. Very, very bright, a wonderful personality. And as teams have come back and gone through scouting, he just rises and rises in the draft. The big knock against any quarterback of plays in a spread offense is always, can he adapt to a 3-5-7 step drop and take the ball under center? And he spent about 6 weeks working on just that. And the improvement between the scouting combine and his pro scouting day was enormous. So you can see that he's got the ability to adapt, and he's a very hard worker. So, and he had a very positive visit with Chicago, and of course I had Jim Harbaugh and Cordell Stewart, and there's not a better city that's more passionate about their team than Chicago, so I agree, number three is probably too high, but you'd love to have a quarterback there.
Absolutely, I know a lot of fans do as well. When I'm sure you heard this a lot, I mean, when guys say to you, all right, well, where's the evidence that a Texas Tech quarterback can succeed in the NFL, what do you say?
Cliff Kingsbury was reasonably successful, but you have to step back and look at Patrick and project him into the future as a talent. There's always the first one, and he's pretty unique. I mean, he'll tell you that there were parts of their offense that were much more pro-oriented than you would think. He knows he has work to do in the transition. They said the same thing about Marcus Mariota. He's transferred well. Jared Goff was not behind a very good line. We have Paxton Lynch last year. So this is the offense in some form or another that's played in college today the majority of the time. And so so much of this is about what team the player goes to. Do they have a good quarterback coach? Do they have a system for bringing him along? Some of the people that don't make it, they weren't all bad draft picks. But if you go behind a porous line with not a good running game, it's very difficult for any quarterback to make the adjustment.
It kind of depends on where he goes and maybe the ability to be able to sit behind somebody and learn for a while as well. But when you start to break him down, Lee, you've had a lot of different quarterbacks through your lifetime. Who does he remind you of? Because you see so many people that are throwing out all these comparisons, and I want to know who he reminds you of, that guy that played in the NFL or is currently playing.
I think he's sort of a cross between, and remember, no one's saying he's at this level, but he's a little bit of a cross between Aaron Rodgers in the sense that he can make any pass and flourish under pressure, and Ben Roethlisberger in the sense that he's, you know, fairly big and tough and strong, and he can get outside the pocket. Look, the only way the Texas Tech had to win is they had to score 50 points, and maybe then they didn't win. So in that conference, if you weren't a scoring machine, then you had no chance. But that's different than the pros, and he'll adapt to the pro game.
Lee, I want to ask you a question about your experience with young guys who want to enter the draft early, be it after their junior year or perhaps like basketball-wise earlier than that. I was watching a 30 for 30 on John Calipari, and they brought up DeJuan Wagner, who came out after his freshman year at Memphis, and then he ends up getting hurt in the NBA, and he only plays 3 years, but he gets paid $7.5 million. They had to take out part of his colon. So here the guy, if he doesn't go pro, he wouldn't have gotten the money. So Cal like felt like he was doing it right. But then there's other guys who they come out and they're not ready, and they maybe would have made more if they had stayed. Like, how do you go about advising a client like that and people signing up with an agent, the whole thing?
Well, in basketball, I think the whole concept of one and done is ridiculous. I'd let all basketball players who want to come out of high school come out, and then you have college as a place where people that really want an education can go. But I think clearly any player is going to benefit from more time in the college game. And in football, any quarterback is going to benefit from more time on campus because that position is all about repetition. It's seeing the field over and over and over again. But that adjustment to the pros, where the offenses are much more complex, the degree of separation between a wide receiver and a defensive back is much tinier. The whole thing is very confusing to see. It takes time. Now, I've always been of the belief that it certainly doesn't hurt a quarterback to sit for a year behind a talented starter. It didn't hurt Aaron Rodgers or Carson Palmer. And today we rush these quarterbacks into play so fast because the salary cap sort of says that if you have someone paid a fortune at the top of the draft, then it's hard to have a really good second quarterback. And they get rushed in. They get judged not after 3 years anymore, but after about three games. And it can completely crush your confidence. So Patrick will be fine either way, but it didn't bother me that Paxton Lynch sat behind another starter last year and had some time to adapt.
We're talking to Lee Steinberg right now on 720 WGN, Adam Hogmark, Carmen, Jared Payton, all here on the show. So with Patrick, what went into his decision to come out early? And how did you – I'm fascinated by this too, because I'm trying to go back to January and kind of thinking about these quarterbacks, and I think that the idea that Patrick Mahomes would go in the first round, at least publicly, wasn't really talked about a lot. I'm sure you probably already had that kind of knowledge. And how do you go about knowing where a guy might go to be able to advise him to make that? Because things seem to change, at least in the public sphere of this draft conversation, a lot between December and January when these guys are making these decisions and when they're actually drafted in April.
Well, you're absolutely right. But a lot of the perception is shaped by draft prognosticators. Yeah. So you have people on television and on the internet who group three quarterbacks, Watson, Kizer and Trubisky in one unit and then Patrick in another. That wasn't based on real scouting. So we have this elaborate second season of scouting that's training, all-star games, the scouting combine, campus pro scouting day, then visits one-on-one with teams. Patrick has visited or seen on campus, aside from the combine and aside from pro scouting day, 19 different teams, which is an extraordinary amount to be doing one-on-one with. And they're coming out of it feeling that, you know, his offensive command, his read, his intelligence, his willingness to understand it's going to take a big adjustment are all good. When a young person comes to me, I tell them, first of all, if you have goals left to do on the college campus, you want to make sure you graduate, you want to win a Heisman, you have individual goals, team goals, or you just like going to school, go back to school. You really shouldn't let people judge this. But if you have, if you feel like you've done what you can on campus and you're ready for the next challenge, let's take a look at how you project. If we look at you going through those various scouting events and what is likely to happen if you come out in the 2017 draft, and then let's compare it to what might happen if you go back in 2018. Now, it's all projections, so you have to use who are the competitive quarterbacks, will there be teams coming out? This is the largest number of teams, both people that need an immediate starter and franchises that there's a whole group of them that have aging starters from San Diego to New Orleans to the New York Giants and Pittsburgh to Arizona and Kansas City, all of whom want a smooth transition. So it's many more teams than there is quarterback supply. So this is actually a very good year to come out in. And then it's a personal decision that the player makes. It's we go into it just wanting the best for the young man. I don't particularly care what year they come out in. I'd like them to come out in the year where they're going to be drafted the highest.
Lee, just to looking at Jamal Williams, though, from BYU and reading his story is pretty amazing. And the honor code at BYU and everything he had to go through there. The article says 5 years of BYU and its honor code. Jamal Williams is free. What now? And I was reading the article. I did not know that he was his uncle introduced him to watching my dad play Walter Payton. And he became a huge Walter Payton fan. Also got a chance to meet him as well.
Sign him up.
Just his road and his journey so far at BYU to now going towards the NFL.
You know, it's funny. The very first year that I started, Jarrett, in 1975, I had the first pick in the first round. It was Steve Bartkowski. That same year, this unbelievable running back came out, Walter Payton. So it shows you sort of how old I am. With Jamal Williams, remember what he got in trouble for was having a drink of alcohol, and second of all, for having a girl in his room. Now, at 99.9% of the campuses across the country, that's just normal routine for college students. So, but he had the fortitude to not transfer. Which is the way many kids would do today. They would just be out of there and go to another school. And he hung in there and didn't complain. And now he's going to end up graduating. And he's a really cherished part of the BYU community. And he has talked to me about the fact that Walter Payton was, you know, a big inspiration to him.
Lee, one last question for you as we let you go. We are here in Chicago. This is a crazy Bears town. They all want their quarterback situation fixed. Getting back to Patrick Mahomes, you mentioned earlier that his visit with the Bears was positive. What do you think went well there as they met together, and why do you think he could potentially be a good fit here in this city?
First of all, it's he's going to be a franchise quarterback, someone that they can build around for 10 to 12 years, who they can win because of rather than with. and who in critical situations with adversity where he's thrown two picks, the crowd is booing, his center's looking at him like he's on hallucinogens, in that moment, he can elevate his level of play, compartmentalize, adopt a quiet mind, and perform at a higher level to take a team to and through the playoffs to the Super Bowl. So it's a great fit. He also can handle being in the country's third largest city with rabid fans. He's been through all these visits. He is has a lot of natural charm, a calmness about him, a willingness to represent a franchise. So, Chicago's one of 32 teams, but it is a team that things went really well with. Obviously, having the third pick is pretty high up in the draft, but he would be, we've talked about it, he'd be a very happy camper with the Chicago Bears.
Lee, appreciate you taking time, the super agent for over 40 years, and spending a little time with us before the draft here, as it's, of course, the first round of Thursday night. Best of luck in the draft here, Lee, for your guys.
Thank you. My pleasure.